Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10, verse 39, "But we're not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul." But what does it mean to have faith unto the saving of the soul? This has been the focus of our study for the past several weeks, and we want to continue this series today. It is not our purpose in this series of studies to consider the term faith only from the standpoint of its academic meaning, but rather with a view of its practical application in our lives. We are considering the question, what does it mean in the way we live to have faith unto the saving of the soul? To state the matter in other words, it is our purpose to try to show something of what happens to a person who has genuine faith in God. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 11 illustrates to us what it means to have faith unto the saving of the soul by showing the effect that faith had in the lives of men and women such as Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and others. Today, we want to talk about the faith of Abraham. Well, first of all, look at verse 8 of chapter 11. It says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." Now, Abraham was of the city of Ur of the Chaldeans. God calls him to leave his native country and to leave his family and to go into a land that God would show him. Well, Abraham obeyed, and God directed him to the land of Canaan. Well, for Abraham to leave his home and his family and to set out on a journey toward a strange land, not knowing where he was going, shows a strong degree of trust and confidence in the one who called him. Well, this is faith. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he trusted God, and so he obeyed. The Hebrew writer says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out." Well, that's what faith will do. It will always obey. And then look at verses 17 through 19. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." Well, the account of this trial of Abraham's faith is recorded in Genesis chapter 22. Now, Isaac was the son of promise. Now, let's step back and give some history. You see, God had promised Abraham that he would make of him a great nation, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the heaven. Genesis 12, verse 2, also Genesis 15, verse 5. He also promised Abraham that he would give to Abraham and his descendants this land to which God had brought Abraham. Genesis 12 and verse 7. He also promised that in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. Genesis 12 and verse 3. Well, at the time God made these promises to Abraham, Abraham did not have any children. His wife Sarah was barren. Eliezer of Damascus was his heir. But God said to Abraham that Eliezer shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Genesis 15, verse 4. But for a long time they had no children. And so Sarah decides to give her Egyptian maidservant, whose name was Hagar, to Abraham to obtain children by her. Well, Abraham takes Hagar to be his wife, and she and Abraham have a son, and they name him Ishmael. And Abraham thinks this is the son through whom the promises will be fulfilled. But that is not according to God's plan. When Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah 89 years old, God said to Abraham that he would give him a son by Sarah. He said, "Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him." Genesis 17, verse 19. Well, Abraham and Sarah are now beyond the age of childbearing, but God says that Sarah will give you a son. Well, Abraham believes God. You know, the Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 22. He says, "And not being weak in faith, he," that is Abraham, "did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness." And now, some years later, Isaac is a young man, the son of promise. And God tells Abraham to take him to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. Genesis 22 and verse 2. Is not Isaac the son of promise? How will the promises be fulfilled if he is killed? Had Abraham possessed the spirit of some of our modern rationalists, how easily he might have persuaded himself that there was some mistake or delusion in the case, that the command could not be from God, that it was inconsistent with both the character and the promises of God. But no, nothing of this occurred in the case of Abraham. He knew that God had commanded, and that was enough. Because of his faith in God, he obeyed. He took his son to the land of Moriah, to the place of which God told him. Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Genesis 22, verses 9 through 12. Abraham looked behind him, and there was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns, and Abraham offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Well, because of Abraham's faith in God, he obeyed God. Abraham knew that even if he actually offered Isaac upon the altar, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead and fulfill his promises through Isaac. Well, that's faith. Faith obeys. Faith is a confidence, a trust in God that will lead one to obey whatever God may command. You know, if Abraham had refused to obey God, then he would not have had faith into the saving of the soul. If he had refused to leave his family and country and go into a land as God commanded, then he would not have had faith into the saving of the soul. If he had refused to offer Isaac upon the altar as God commanded, he would not have had faith into the saving of the soul. Faith unto the saving of the soul is a faith that obeys. You know, James makes this clear in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. In verse 14, James says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" James is asking, can faith without works, without obedience to God's commands, save a man? Well, the answer is no. Faith that does not obey God's commands will not save a man. This is the point that James is making. In verse 20, James says, "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" A person who refuses to obey the commands of God has a dead faith, and that faith will not save. No one can be justified with a dead faith. In verses 21 through 23, James gives an example of faith by which one is justified, and it is the example of Abraham. He gives the same example that the Hebrew writer does in Hebrews 11. He says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar?" Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Well, how was Abraham justified? Well, it was not by faith alone, but by faith with works, with obedience. In verse 24, James says, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." James is talking about faith by which one is justified. It is a faith that is demonstrated in obedience to God's commands. It is the faith of Abraham. It is faith unto the saving of the soul. But someone says, what about Romans 3, verse 28, where Paul says that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law? Well, James says we're justified by faith with works, and Paul says we're justified by faith apart from works. Well, Paul and James are talking about two different kinds of works. Paul refers to works in which one might boast, works whereby one earns his righteousness. Look in Romans 4, verses 2 through 4. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Well, these works of this passage give a person the right to boast. One who is justified by these works, his justification is not received by grace, but it is a matter of debt, Paul says. In other words, it is something he earns. Well, the only way a person could be justified by this means is if he obeyed the law of God perfectly, never committing any sin. Since all have sinned, Romans 3 and verse 23, no one then can be justified by works of law. Since all have sinned, all are then in need of God's grace to be justified. The works discussed by James, though, is not works of merit, works whereby one has the right to boast. But he's talking about obedience to the commands of God that demonstrates his faith and perfects his faith. You see, we are sinners in need of God's grace, but in order to be saved by God's grace, we need to come to Christ in faith. But what kind of faith is this? It is a faith that is demonstrated. It is a faith with obedience. By obedience to God's command, Abraham proved his faith, which was accounted to him for righteousness. Faith without these works, without this demonstration, is a dead faith, and it will not justify. And by the way, both Paul and James use the same example of faith, Abraham. Paul says, for what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That is a quote from Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham was justified by faith apart from the meritorious works of the law, but he was still justified by faith. But James says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? And then he says, and the Scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. James quotes from the same passage that Paul does, Genesis 15, verse 6. Paul and James are talking about the same kind of faith, the faith of Abraham, the faith that justifies. They're talking about two different kinds of works, but the same kind of faith. It is a faith that will show itself in obedience to the commands of God. Well, in the same way, if we have faith in God as Abraham did, then we will obey God when He gives us a command. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, we read of those who were cut to the heart when they learned that they had crucified the one whom God had made both Lord and Christ. They were sinners in need of salvation. They asked the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter answered by saying in verse 38, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, if they have saving faith, what do you think they will do? Well, they will do what Peter said, and that's exactly what they did. In verse 41 it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized." And that is what will happen today. One who comes to the realization that he is a sinner today and in need of God's grace, in need of salvation, and he learns that Jesus is Lord and Savior and hears the Lord say through Peter, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Well, what will he do? Well, if he has faith, then he will obey. He will repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's what saving faith does.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You're invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7, The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at the same time for Bible Talk.